It's not about the money.
It's not about the money.
It's not about doing a good deed, making yourself feel good, or checking the box.
Or checking the box to say you accomplished the task.
It's a reminder.
It's a reminder to listen to His heart.
To listen to His heart.
To know His character.
To experience His grace.
And to trust His provision.
So look at yourself.
Your time.
Your resources.
Your mind, body, and spirit.
Ask yourself, is my heart
aligned with the God I claim to follow?
With the God I claim to follow?
It's about your heart.
Good morning, church. My name is Bjorn Webb. I'm the outreach director here, and I am so excited to be with you this morning to share about what God has done over the past 18 months during Heart Check Press On. Now, some of you may be new or may not be familiar with what Heart Check is, so I want to take a moment to explain kind of what it is. Not only is Heart Check a giving campaign, it is also, it's just a way of life around here. It's part of who we are as Revive Wesleyan. Heart Check has been a part of the lifeblood of who we are for so long. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says this: "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And so Heart Check is a time for us to check our hearts. Where is our treasure? Does our treasure reside in heaven or elsewhere? And today, a little different, I actually have notes with me. I don't normally use notes, but because God has done so much, I can't remember it all, so I've got to have it written down. So bear with me here with these notes. But I want to share a little bit of what God has done over these past 18 months. We set out on a journey in January of 2022 to raise $1 million. And not only did we raise $1 million, we raised $1.1 million. Yes, isn't that awesome? God provided above and beyond what we set out to. And that's because of the generosity and the faithfulness of you and those sitting around you. That was us. That was the church. So we gave that to the Lord. And we said, God, what are we going to do with this? And the Lord went above and beyond. And so for those that have given, we thank you. For those that have pledges that they want to continue, they will be open and you'll be able to do that throughout the end of this month, May 31st. And we're here to promise and confirm that every single dollar given has gone to and will go to the projects, the programs, and the partnerships that Heart Check Press On was designed for those to give to. And here's just a few. I want to share just a few of the victory stories, the God stories, what God did through that, through your generosity and your faithfulness. One of the partners we partnered with is called Compass Care. And throughout the past year, through the ministry of Compass Care, there were 457 unborn babies that were saved from abortion. Yes, can we hear it for God for what He did through that? Now, the great part is the story doesn't end there. And this is my favorite part about this ministry, is that's a focus of theirs. But they aim to love and serve the women that walk through their doors well. And while they do that, through grace and truth, there were, and this is the best part, 258 of those women gave their lives to Christ. Yes. And none of this could be possible without the continued generosity of people like you. Every dollar you give, $2 or more, goes a long way. And so we're thrilled to be a part of that ministry. The things they provide for these women are for free. And they're there to love, to serve, to educate and inform and walk alongside these women as they go through this tough time. Another one of the ministries we partner with is 716 Ministries. 716 Ministries is a ministry in the city, and they aim to provide this work readiness program for those that maybe don't have the job skills or training yet, and they provide the opportunities to do so. And so in March, they launched a coffee shop called Three Stories Coffee. And this coffee shop provides the opportunity for those to learn customer service skills, business, and a variety of other skills. And it was our partnership through Heart Check and many others around the city of Buffalo that came together that was able to make that happen. This is the coffee we buy and serve here in our lobby. And that's another way that we like to partner with and serve them. And so it was partly through our giving, through Heart Check Press On, that coffee shop was able to open and thrive, and it will be for years and years to come. Yeah, we can clap for that. That's all right. Very good. The last example that I will share, and I can't share them all because there's a lot, but I want to share one more. Poetis International is a ministry in Zambia that we've partnered with for many years, and the specific dollars that HeartCheck Press-On had went to a specific program that's called their Extensive Training Program. This is a 20-week, and it goes by the name, it's an extensive program, 20 weeks long where they train and equip future missionaries. And there were 7 students that went through this training, completed it, and all 7 are going to be serving in part-time or full-time missionary work into the future. And it's because of our support, along with many others, that those students were able to get the proper training that they needed and that Poetis could serve them in that capacity through that. So those 3 examples are just 3 of many of the things that God did throughout these past 18 months. And we're super excited that to start the next HeartCheck giving campaign today and the next 4 weeks, we're going to be, over the next 12 months, raising over $750,000. And we can guarantee that each and every one of those dollars that's given, we will give away and bless and use for God's kingdom here locally, in our backyard, and across the street where there are huge needs that we see every day, in our city where we see there are needs every day, and also around the world. We are here to be the hands and feet of God, and one of the ways we can do that is partner with God's mission to our world by giving financially to something like HeartCheck. And so I thank you for your continued support, and I thank you for being a part of HeartCheck 2022 as we go on. Today, we want to talk about how we can serve our communities, and who better to lead that effort than our campus pastors. And so I want to bring your attention to a video as you hear from our campus pastors of how we're going to serve our local communities this year.
Hi, my name is Bjorn Webb. I'm the Outreach Director here at Revive Wesleyan, and I could not be more excited than to be here with you sharing what our plans are in the local communities during HeartCheck. The best way to reach our communities is to participate with what God is already doing there. Our campus pastors are leading the way with this initiative as they assess the needs, and here's a sneak peek of what we're planning during HeartCheck.
So we're already reaching out into our community through things like
our emergency food pantry, collecting food at Thanksgiving, and our giving tree at Christmas. And those are great, but we need to do more. So we're getting together with community leaders and asking them, where are the gaps? And who's trying to meet those needs? Maybe we can partner with them. And driving all of this is HeartCheck.
We've recently met with some elected officials in the community, and we identified that one of the greatest needs is a safe place for teenagers to hang out. We believe that the loft can be that space. We've already started work on this old classroom in hopes of turning it into a game room. We hope to see foosball tables in here, pinball machines, and possibly even a pool table. But ultimately, we want this to be a fun place for teenagers to hang out on a weekly basis.
In Springville, we have a couple plans to reach youth in our community. One, we plan to support the Springville Youth Incorporated program by sponsoring some sports teams and just supporting the great work that they do. We also plan to do a couple of free hot dog pop-ups in places that youth hang out in our community. And to impact all generations in our community, we plan to continue to support the Trading Post here in Springville that meets thousands of food and clothing needs.
In East Aurora, we are connected with the Rural Outreach Center, or The Rock, whose mission is to break the cycle of rural poverty. In part, we are collecting winter hats and gloves, providing meals at Thanksgiving, and gifts at Christmas.
We're also involved in their mentoring program, where members of our congregation meet with kids to help support their academic studies and coach them through life. Lastly, we're working with The Rock to develop a work readiness program where job skills are taught. These programs give our congregation multiple opportunities to engage in the needs of the community.
At South Creek, we will continue our partnership with Operation Good Neighbor. They're a community food and clothing pantry located directly across the street from us. Throughout the year, we will help contribute to them financially. We will have food and clothing drives, and we will give you the opportunity to serve alongside of them. We are excited to get back to some of the community events that we have missed so much over the course of the past 2 years. We'll be back at the Eden Corn Fest, in which we will participate with the parade, handing out water and candy, and simply being a presence in the community.
We want to join in with the events that are already happening in the community of East Aurora. One of these events is the Carolcade. It's a singing event that occurs at Christmas time and draws thousands of people. This past Christmas, a group from Revive came early to help pass out programs and stayed late to help clean up from the event. Another event that occurs in the summertime is the Music Fest, and we're already brainstorming ways that our congregation can be there to serve.
And we're also planning to move our Sunday services in August outdoors here in the center of the village, Hamlin Park, so we can meet people where they are.
We have this amazing space in which we do church on Sunday mornings. And we want to give back to the community by hosting free, family-friendly movies on occasion, and events like The Chosen and Show Me the Father. We also want to participate with events that go on in our community, things like Fiddle Fest, Oktoberfest, and events around Christmas time. We plan to provide kids' activities, refreshments, and more.
The ideas that everybody just shared are actually just the start. In HeartCheck, we have the opportunity to take the resources available to us, the time we have, the financial resources we have, even the land we have at all of our campuses, and reimagine how we use them. It's an opportunity for us to listen to those in our community, to pursue the Father, to participate with the Holy Spirit, to find new and exciting ways to proclaim Jesus. I hope that you come back on Commitment Weekend on June 5th as we make our commitments to this year's HeartCheck.
You know, it's interesting to sit in this seat and to know that during a pandemic, and this, you know, in Church 101, they would probably tell you never to do this unless you have incredible faith. I guess you could say that. But we set out to raise, the goal was 1.5. We had to adjust. But we said, if we can raise $1 million through COVID, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? But my goodness, isn't it incredible to see how God stepped in and we raised over $1.1 million? As I've been watching that come in week after week, I've just been blown away by that reality. And then as the guys and Becky just shared in the video, this year's HeartCheck is going to look different than others in the past. For years, the critique has been on HeartCheck. Well, we do all these things overseas and we do things in our city, but what about our local communities, our backyard and across the street? Well, this year, our hope and our plan is to release $15,000 to each campus to find ways to invest in meaningful ways in their community, to look for opportunities to bless a ministry, to look for ways to bless a school, to look for ways to bless individuals who just really need to experience the love of Jesus. And Bjorn mentioned our goal this year is going to be $750,000 to give away, to bless our world, to bless our city, and to bless our own community. So I'm really excited to launch into HeartCheck, and I'm even more excited for what I get to share to you today, because one of the stories we've always heard about our country, if you were raised in the U.S. and you sort of know what that's about, you've heard it said that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Everyone's heard that, right? Of course we have. But my question to you today is really simple. Are we really free? Are we really free? Now, we're free to worship. We're here in this space today. Nobody's out at the doors telling you not to come. When you go home today, you don't have to worry about any secret police wondering where you were. We're free to worship. We're free to come and go pretty much as we please. That's sort of one of the things that we appreciate about this country. But that's not at all what I'm talking about. Are you really free? Now, what does that mean? Have you ever heard the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? You look at what somebody else has. You look at the things, the stuff, the places they go, the things they do. Maybe you saw them pull into their driveway with a brand new car, and you sit there looking at your car that's a year old saying, man, I really like their car better. Or a friend or somebody you know gets a new phone or a new something or other. I don't even know what it is. As you look at it, something happens in your heart and all of a sudden you're in bondage because you want what they have over what you have. So let me ask the question again. Are we really free? Free to enjoy, free to live life in a way in which we can just experience in the splendor and the glory of God without wanting what others have. Are you really free? This first smacked me in the face on July 7th of 2009. I don't remember dates for anything. I barely remember when my kids' birthdays are. But this date is etched into my head forever.
You see, I was in Zambia, and this date is actually when Michael Jackson's memorial service happened at Staples Center. Now, why is that date lodged into my head? Well, it was near the end of our trip, and we're in this little cafe, just getting a cup of coffee and some breakfast, and they have a television on the wall. They had a flat screen, and on the screen, they were broadcasting Michael Jackson's memorial service. So I'm in this cafe in Zambia watching Michael Jackson's memorial service, and there were dozens and dozens of Zambians crushed in around this television, hanging on every word, every note, every song that was sung. The cognitive dissonance was incredible, because here you have some of the richest people in the world, entertainers, all those from Hollywood celebrating Jackson. But on this hand, you have these Zambians who barely knew where they were going to eat on that day, staring and taking it all in. I couldn't believe what I was watching. What were the Zambians thinking? Are all Americans like that? Do they all have resources and wealth and money, the things that we can never imagine? It was the most incredible experience. I remember sitting there with our team as we were eating our breakfast and taking this all in. We were just staring at the situation as it unfolded, because it was that incredible. But it leads me to these words from Paul and Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Michael Jackson came into the world with nothing. And he left the world with nothing. The Zambians who were crowded around that television screen that day, they also came into the world with nothing. And they too will leave the world, as all of us will, with nothing. But what's the difference? The lives we live between our coming into the world and leaving the world are what's different for each and every one of us. And it was so clear that day to watch the difference in Michael Jackson's life versus all of these Zambians who were crowded around this television screen. So with that in mind, let's take a deeper look at 1 Timothy 6. And we'll do it a little bit verse by verse, picking a few of the verses out. And the first one is 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you ever realize that the opposite of contentment is this gnawing desire for more, more stuff, more anything? You look around in the world and you see the latest, greatest, and all of a sudden something in your heart sort of this triggers, and you want what that person has. You want what the commercial says you need. Here we find no rest, no peace, and no enjoyment. We're constantly in this state, like we're on a treadmill, trying to get something that we can never, ever, ever attain. But being content is beneficial and healthy for each of us. To look at the things we have and to be pleased with them and to embrace them is really the best place to be. Because as you live in that place, you are free to enjoy what we have. You're free to enjoy the goodness of God and stop looking around and trying to take what everybody else has. You realize that everything belongs to God. And as you experience that contentment, you know what happens? You begin to relax. You can take a deep breath. As you look at the world and all the things that are in it, you can begin to relax and to say, God is good. And I don't need what that person has. I don't need what I think I need in my head. And God is good. There's a parallel passage to the Timothy passage in Matthew 6. And I'm going to read it in the Message version. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God by giving. To not be so preoccupied about what you can get and what you can acquire for yourself, but to be more interested in giving, to being a blessing to many. Contentment means I enjoy what I have. My old pair of sneakers that are beat up and they don't look like they used to, I love those sneakers. And I don't need to upgrade them just because somebody else did. The clothes you wear, if somebody else gets something that you really think you like, you don't have to get it for yourself. You can just relax. Contentment means I can relax about what I don't have. I can relax about what I don't have. It means I can give things away with joy. And I can look to God as my provider. Church, my encouragement to you is to be content. Be content. Enjoy what you have. Your clothes, your electronics, whatever it might be for you. The thing that I really enjoy collecting, it's really strange. You're going to say, what is wrong with our pastor? I love tools. I love getting new tools, whether it be power tools or hand tools or anything like that. And I love a certain brand. There's certain brands I just don't want. That's just the way it is. But there's certain brands I think I have to have. But to be free of that and to be content when somebody gets me something I really don't want, but it serves the need I need it to fill. To be content. Paul continues in Timothy, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Last winter, my parents downsized after 40 years in the same house. Can you imagine the stuff in their basement, in the attic, in the closets, in the shed? Maybe when you go home today, you have the same thing. As you look around, you've got a lifetime of accumulated stuff just clogging up your house that you really don't know what to do with. As my parents went through their house, they gave a ton of stuff away. They sold some, and stuff ended up at neighbors' houses, at our house, at my sister's house, although she lives in Alabama, so not a whole lot made it to Alabama. But one of the things that made its way to our house is in this case. You see, as we were going through my parents' basement, we found stuff that had been forgotten about for decades, just buried in boxes and bins, things we never thought we'd had or still knew where to put our finger on it. But this made its way. Oh, I opened it upside down. It was my grandfather's clarinet. I won't try and play it because that wouldn't work very well. This thing used to sing. My grandfather would pull this clarinet out at birthdays. He would pull it out whenever we asked, and he would just play and play and play on it. He used to do happy birthday for us every year, my sister and I, on this clarinet. My grandfather grew up on the west side of Buffalo when it was an Italian neighborhood, and as he grew up there, he used to play this clarinet to help make money for his family, to help support their needs and all that was happening in their lives. When I took music in elementary school, I took clarinet, and this is the clarinet I used all those years later when I took clarinet. My daughter takes clarinet now, and she played it the other day, and it sounded awful. Not because of her ability, but simply because it's all dry rotting and it's getting old and it needs to be some work. This was one of my grandfather's prized possessions. He loved this thing. As a family, we loved it because when he played, there was such joy in his heart all the time. But you know what? When my grandfather passed away, this clarinet could not go with him. It stayed here. The things that you cherish most in life, the possessions that you have, they'll stay here. The things you love most, the things that you covet, the things that you have on display in your house, one day they'll be in somebody else's possession because you just can't take them with you. The things that we have are simply things. They really don't hold any other value than the value we ascribe to them because we own them. They're just things. And you can't take them with you. accepting this reality allows you to be free to enjoy the things and free to give them away. Free to look in your basement and see bins upon bins of stuff you will never use again, just sitting there rotting. You're free to give it away and to be generous to people who could use it. As you go up into your attic and you see things maybe from your grandmother or your great-grandmother, you're free to enjoy, but you're free to give away, because our things, don't miss this, your stuff does not own you. The things you own do not own you. They are simply things. And embracing this idea allows us to be generous. And there's three main areas in which we can be generous. You can be generous with your time, talent, and treasure. Time is the one commodity you can never, ever, ever get back. If you give money away, you can earn more money. It may be challenging. If you give away something that's valuable to you, there may be a time when you can replace that and buy something new. But when you invest your time in somebody, you can never get that back. Instead of scrolling on your phone or binge watching a show on television or even spending time reading, and if you read a ton and getting all the enjoyment out of reading, maybe instead of putting your time into those things, you invest your time into a person who could really use your touch, your love on their life. You know, someday we're all going to pass away. I hate to break the news to you. And I hope there's people at my funeral when I do someday who say something like this: Paul really took time for me. He invested in me. He helped me through this difficult situation. He helped me when nobody else would. He was there. He stood by me. He was present. That's how I want to be known, because our time matters in the lives of people. So be generous with your time. Be generous with your time. It's the one thing you can never get back. So make sure you spend it wisely. On your family, on your kids, on your extended family maybe, on your neighbors and those you love. One of our neighbors, two doors down, she lost her husband just about 6 or 7 weeks ago. He died of cancer. We love this family. They're so close to us. And yesterday afternoon, she came over and sat in our backyard, right before all the news broke of the day. And I had reading to do, I had other things to be doing, but I just spent time with Linda. She shared stories about her husband who passed. Just enjoying the time on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. That's an investment of time into the life of somebody who truly needed it. Be generous with your time. And then be generous with your talents. My grandfather loved playing his clarinet. He would play it whenever asked because he knew it brought joy to people around him. What are you good at? Or maybe what are things that you're not even that great at, but they're a talent that you possess that you could invest into other people to show them that Jesus really cares and loves them. Maybe if you are a musician, you join a community band or the worship team here at church. Maybe if you bake really well, you bake a pie a week and you give it away to people in your world. To neighbors, to friends, to coworkers, whomever, you give your pies away. Maybe you're a retired teacher and you just don't know what to do. Well, maybe it's time to volunteer at an after-school program and to love kids in the name of Jesus. To use your talents and your time to make a difference in their lives. Or what about your treasure? Your finances, and we'll talk more about finance next week, but the stuff you have in your house, is there somebody who needs one of the things that you just have stacked up in a box? And if you were generous, what kind of blessing would that be to that person? As Revive Wesleyan, I think we have an opportunity right here to be generous with our time, talents, and treasure. We could change our community through generosity. If enough of us serve in our community and we're engaged at a level in which we can love and care for people, the communities will notice. If we have 10 people in this room, or even 5 for that matter, but if we have people from this room volunteered an after-school program in the village of Hamburg, you know what happens at that after-school program? They say, something's different about that church. They invest in their community. They're interested in what's happening, and they're really good at what they do. As you invest your time, your talents, and your treasure into our community, you will make a difference. It's almost like it's your own personal heart check. It's your own personal opportunity to say, what are the things I have and how can I use them to be a blessing to others? To start to view your house and the things you have not as a warehouse, but as a distribution center where you just freely give the things you have to others. So once we're content and then generosity comes in, Paul has one more encouragement. It's in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I love how Paul shows us where to put our hope. We could put our hope in wealth, but one day the wealth will fall apart. For those of you who may have had stuff invested in the stock market right now, how's that going for you? When we put our hope in wealth and we forget Jesus and put him off to the side, we're left bankrupt. Because our earthly wealth will never replace the hope that we can put in God and how he provides things for our enjoyment. The choice is yours. Do you want to put your hope in wealth or in God? Paul calls us to enjoy all that God provides. To look around and to go outside today and to smell the lilacs in May. There's a lilac tree right in our backyard and the lilacs smell so wonderful right now. Everything is so green and fresh and beautiful. God wants us to enjoy his creation. He provides more than our wealth ever could. To enjoy the taste of wild honey, to look up at the big blue sky and just to revel in the majesty of it. To understand that God creates all that we see. And then he creates the resources so that we can make things, to make pottery and paintings and beautiful music. They're all for our enjoyment. He gives freely to all of us to enjoy. We have the capacity for joy and to experience God's goodness and his provision. We're not dualists where we believe that created things are evil. We believe that created things are created by God himself for our enjoyment. I think part of the attractiveness of us as followers of Christ is that we have joy in the world. How's your joy? Are you content and generous? And as you're joyful and as you experience the things of God, this is the last piece I think we need to be hopeful. Hopeful that our world is heading in a good direction. Hopeful that God is God and that Jesus is on the throne at the right hand of God. We need to be the most hopeful people in the world. And as we're hopeful, it'll help us to trust in God and it'll develop into faith. Faith in God that he will richly provide everything for our enjoyment. As I wrote this message, this is where I get a little vulnerable. I felt trapped. I felt trapped by my calendar. As I look at my calendar, there's so many things each and every day. It's almost a bit overwhelming. I felt trapped by my surgery and what I needed to have done to my knee, knowing that this summer will be very different than other summers and I won't be able to enjoy the things I normally do and enjoy. Trapped by the weather. It was tough in April and early May, wasn't it? I felt trapped. I felt trapped by the expectations that people have on me in this role. They're pretty intense at times. And as a result, as I was writing this and talking about being hopeful, I started to get emotional. And I broke down a little bit. Because as hard as I tried, I could not be content in that moment. I could not be hopeful. The hope had almost been ripped out of my heart, and I definitely had no desire to be generous. Can you relate to that? Where you desire to be content, but no matter what you try, you just can't get there. Where you want to have hope that God is God and that he will work in our world, but as much as you try to be hopeful, you just can't get there. And then generosity. You want me to give my stuff to who? sometimes that just creeps into our hearts. And I was there as I wrote this message. So if you're feeling that today, I can relate. And I think for all of us, it's time for us to do a personal heart check. It's time for us to understand that it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God in his work in the world and his work through us in the world, and that our call to be content, our call to be generous, and our call to be hopeful. As I was in that deep, dark place, I again reflected back to one of my earlier trips to Zambia. I'm telling you, if you've never been on a mission trip, you need to go. God does something in your heart. And I remember the first time I was in Zambia, the very first day I was in Zambia, we went to a church service in this community called Muntu Wabalungo. Say that 5 times. And I'll never forget when the offering came up, there was a woman, and I have a picture of this somewhere, a woman who came up with ears of corn, ears of maize, and placed them in the offering. And then there was a chicken in the church service. I'm not used to that around here. Nobody brings chickens typically. But then this woman, as the offering was happening, she was an older woman. She sort of made her way up and she put the chicken, a live chicken, in the offering basket. And then they worshiped and they were going to blow the roof off that church. You see, they were content in the middle of their, what I would consider to be poverty. I think there's a lesson for all of us to learn there. That we can be content no matter what's going on around us. I saw generosity, like I just mentioned, those who placed their offerings in the basket. I also remember people willing to give you drinks and to love on you in ways that they don't even have resources, but they want to be generous with what they have. You don't need to be wealthy to be generous. You don't need to be wealthy to be generous. Any of us can be generous, and I learned that in Zambia. And I learned what hope looks like, what faith looks like. They trust God for every morsel they eat. For some, there's no other way to go. And he provides again and again and again, so they're hopeful every day that God will provide. So as I was in this place of not being content, hopeful, or generosity, I feel like I got a gift from my brothers and sisters in Zambia yet again. I don't say all of this to make you guilty. I say all of it to set you free. Free to be content. Free to be generous with your time, talent, and treasure. Free to be hopeful in our Lord. To cultivate contentment everywhere you go. To be free from looking at your neighbor's stuff and saying you want what they have. Just free to live your life. I hope that today you're set free to experience the goodness and the beauty of God. The stuff we own, it serves us. We don't serve the created things. We don't serve our homes. We don't serve that. We serve God alone. We serve God alone. And as we do, we will find contentment, we will be generous, and we will be hopeful. God, we thank you for this morning, this chance to be in your presence, to worship together, to learn about contentment and generosity and how to be hopeful. Father, I pray that you would be doing a work in each and every one of our hearts that would draw us closer to you, that we would understand what it means to serve you in this world, to not be concerned with our own interests, but look to the interests of others, that we would truly be your hands and feet, loving and serving you each and every day of our lives. Lord, for those who have this feeling where they're not content or generous or hopeful, Lord, I pray that you would break through those walls and you would help them to grab a hold of you anew. And that they could be free. That they would be free. So we thank you, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.